Hello, welcome to Money Matters. I'm Dave Pezzo. You know, it's amazing to me how unbelievably good the market's been in the last month. I mean, it's just, it's astounding. And this week was another one. More than 3% gain in the markets for the week. And when I think about that, I think about, you know, like a month ago when everybody was just walking around with their chin on the ground. It was just like, it was terrible. Terrible. You know, the market had kind of gone flat. It really hadn't gone up a lot, but it just kind of was flat for a month, 6 weeks, and then it just, boom. It took off. And it can't do that, right? I mean, it's, we got inflation. We got Joe. We got all these bad decisions that are being made. Tax policy is just terrible. Let's go penalize business. There's going to be a recession. Maybe, maybe not. Inverted, smurted yield curve. Blah, blah, blah. All this doom and gloom. And I couldn't help but today, but I was sitting here reflecting on that, and I went, oh, yeah, you know what we were talking about a month or 2 months ago? The peak of pessimism. That it could never get better. In fact, we did a Zoom meeting with our clients. If you want to watch that, it's on our YouTube channel, Pezzo Financial YouTube channel. But it's not to go, oh, see, we're right. That's not the point. The point is to learn that when things can't get better, they do. And they always have. We get to these peak times where, you know, consumers' confidence is like the lowest it's been in decades, which it was, right? I mean, it was the lowest in decades. Maybe ever. I honestly don't, you know, it doesn't matter. It's terrible. Everybody's like, feeling terrible. And it can't get better because all of these numbers point to that. And yet all of history says when you get to those types of readings, markets do very well going forward. But it's hard to believe because we live now in this icky soup. And, you know, crime is still super high across the country. I mean, we've got massive problems. And there's just simply something wrong with us. There is. People are just angry. They're people getting into fights. People just behaving so poorly. Like everywhere, right? It's weird. I mean, this pandemic has done a lot. And the politicians, of course, you know, I mean, they're above this, and so they're really helping calm things down. And of course, they're not. But when we get to those points, these peaks of pessimism, markets historically have done well. Very well. We just don't feel like they're going to. And so we don't buy. We don't allocate that cash. We say we want to buy bargains, but we don't. We just don't do it. You know, it's an interesting thing when you're talking to people and talking to different clients, different human beings, basically, right? They're just different human beings. But mostly what's in common is that people don't want to buy when we are at those peaks of pessimism. Very few will actually say, you know, I think it's time to move forward. They might do a token amount here and there, but they're really not moving forward. They really don't want to buy Amazon down 35%. They really don't, as it turns out, because it might go down 40%. Or 45. And then they would feel stupid, so they don't buy. And then it shoots up 30%. That's still down for the year. But it's not trading at 100 anymore. It's like a 140 plus. It's been a huge move in the last month. Same with Apple. Huge move. Way over 20% move. I mean, these are big numbers, big changes. And opportunities missed. And these opportunities missed are all the time. And so when we look at that, we're not saying peak of pessimism, it's now, so you're going to hit the dead bottom. Nobody's saying that. But we have to learn from when it feels really bad, but prices are really good, they're reflecting the really bad. They really are. They're fully reflecting. Most of the time, they're overly reflecting it, right? Because stocks are never really, companies are never really priced at their real value. They're either overvalued or undervalued, like all the time. You think about this, just on a week-to-week basis. Did really the overall value of the companies change by more than 3% this week? Some companies, like 5 or 6% in a week. Did they really go up that much? No. Did they really, a couple months ago, go down 5% in a week? Their cash flows, their intrinsic values, did it really go down like that? No, because the actual businesses don't. But the stock market pushes prices around in an exaggerated way, which is wonderful. It's where we get bargains. It's where you can, you know, sell stocks when they're particularly dear, when people get too excited about it, right? Well, you know, and you think about this. We were never going to have oil again. So energy prices are going to stay down forever, and we're not going to use much oil, and Exxon, Chevron, and all the others are never going to figure out how to make money again. That's where they priced energy companies a couple years ago. Now, hindsight is real easy, and we can all look back and go, oh, yeah, see, that was really would have been a great time to buy. That's not, I'm not, of course it was. But the point being, those companies were clearly undervalued to what their assets were, because everybody hated them now. And then everybody falls in love with them and drives them too high. This happens with every industry, every company, all the time. But when we get opportunities to buy at a discount, we need to take them. Because guess what? This isn't the only time we're going to see, or the last time ever in our life, we're going to see companies pull back. Great companies, totally dominant companies, companies we all wished we'd owned for the last 20 years. They're going nowhere. And you just got them a third off. Which also means for those that are paying dividends, you got a third more dividends the rest of your life for the same money. It's a huge idea. Oh, you mean I get a third more yield forever for nothing? Correct. Wow. I don't want to do that. And we don't, because the world looks terrible. And when we look back in hindsight, I get it. It just looks like it's so easy. We could, oh, we should buy here. We could buy there. And yet, when we're in it, we don't. And we've got a million reasons why. Oh, you're such an optimist, Petzo. You are such an optimist. You just don't see the world clearly. We have inflation. We got this. We got that. We've got the Federal Reserve. Make up stuff. Let's make up all kinds of things. Why gold's going to go to 3,000 or 5,000. Why we should listen to people about we need to buy silver. These guys are just scare people. They're just scare people. They're constantly scare people because it's easy to scare people. They're absolutely never right. It's not like they have a philosophy of investing. Like, well, I really am. My philosophy is investing in gold. No, it's selling you on their newsletters. That's all. Or they're pimping themselves on TV. well, I wrote the book, whatever, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and so you need to call up this 800 number over here, you know, and they write him a check for $50,000 because he puts his name on it. Does he really believe in gold? Of course he doesn't. Of course not. Because gold hasn't gone anywhere. How do you think you got rich? Writing a book or buying gold? Right? It's true all the way around, and we have to be careful of what our inputs are. It doesn't make me right. I think that's the most dishonest thing is if people are like, well, this is right, this is wrong. There are certain this is right and this is wrong. There's no honest philosophy that you should buy an equity indexed annuity with all your money. Really. There's so many alternatives to it that are way better and more flexible. It is dishonest to say there are no fees. Of course, with a 10% commission, that's a heck of a fee. But they can legally say that. I don't know why. I don't know how. But what I do know is that that's not a philosophy of investing. It's an income earner. Because the philosophy isn't, I want to invest in something I can't win at, that I can't beat inflation, and my money's tied up for 10 years. Nobody has that honest philosophy. It's the same with gold and all these other things. Fear sells. Fear sells. All the time. And we have to be careful not to be fearful. It doesn't make somebody a wild-eyed optimist that you can't see what's wrong in the world, that you believe that corporations will solve their problems and that mankind will solve the problems of today. Because we always have. I would call that realism. But it's hard through that to say, I want to buy Apple and Amazon a third off. But then those opportunities go away. But they'll come back somewhere, probably at much higher prices than we are. And then they'll pull back in a big way. And we need to learn on those pullbacks. This is okay if you bought down 25% and it went down 35%. It's totally okay. You got a bargain. And you're thinking long term. That also helps us to not fall prey to the fear of the day. Got to buy gold because there's inflation. Got to buy silver, zinc, copper, runaway this, runaway that. Trade commodities futures, buy lumber. All those things are out there when we hit these peaks of pessimism. I got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and again, thank you for joining us. Please do give us a call here coming up in the second hour. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Love to take your calls. And if you have an email question, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. I know everybody, these are the dog days of summer. I know everybody's out on vacation, running around doing things other than thinking about the markets. But I'm sure people have questions, and we'd love to hear from you. In the next hour, I'm going to talk a little bit about the virtues of stock buybacks, because that's one of these things that's in this horrendous bill. And two things I want to say about the bill real quick. Okay, it's not even close to as bad as Build Back Better. That was trillions and trillions of dollars. This is bad. Because we're just spending money that we don't have, making up tax revenues that don't exist, as if people don't change their mind, corporations don't do things differently, that everything operates in a straight line. That's like saying if you poke somebody in the eye, they would not react to that. They would just go blind. It's absurd. An amoeba reacts to poking it or heating it or what have you. Obviously, corporations do too. So we'll talk about stock buybacks and whether they're really an important part of the market and where this tax is going to come from. Most people don't understand stock buybacks. Why are they bad? Why are they being demonized? Well, that's kind of absurd, but we'll talk about that. And I also do want to touch on the fact that this is not anywhere near as bad. This is a lot of made-up stuff. It doesn't really affect things for a while, and it certainly is not going to help inflation. Nobody thinks that on the left or on the right, and I really think it's got to be. You got to be kidding me. You're going to actually insult people to the point that they think you are so stupid, they hate you that much, that you are going to call this an inflation-reducing act. It is not. It's not increasing inflation, but it does increase the money supply. That's been our problem. That has been our problem. So, again, it's bad, but it's not as bad as you're hearing a lot of reports, okay? So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Stock buybacks and also the great bull market, actually, of my career, kind of sort of has ended. We'll talk about that. All right, we'll be back after Fox News. Stick around for hour two. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Dave@petsofinancial.net if you prefer email. And of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 or sell, 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 or to just run around with wild-eyed optimism about things. But we're not here to scare you either and sell you on something. We're here to try to grow together and learn together. And that's what makes it fun. And so thank you for the last, I think, 35 years now. 35 years of actually being there and listening to me. So, and sharing your questions and comments. And so please do. I know we're in the dog days of summer. It totally is. It's slow time. Everybody's on vacation. If you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. I guess I want to kind of start this with the big bull market. Now, we have a wonderful, wonderful YouTube. I know that sounds very self-serving out there on our that we did a Zoom meeting for our clients, and then we turned them into YouTubes. It's called Dow 30,000. And it's really something Jennifer Stone and I put together, particularly Jennifer, kind of walking through when I started 40 years ago in 1980. And then, of course, the Dow hit 30,000 here a little over a year ago. It's astounding. It's such an astounding move. And when I think of all the things, like when I started with it at literally double-digit inflation, double-digit unemployment, Jimmy Carter had just been booted out. Soviet Union was literally just south of our border. They were everywhere. And we felt like it was never going to get better. You talk about the peak of pessimism. Man, was it bad. The mood of our country was it was never going to get better. And thus began the Reagan bull market. It really did. I don't know. This is not a political statement at all. He was just a bigger than life, real deal president that made us feel better about ourselves than we were. And he turned us around. It was true leadership. Brilliant. And yes, of course, supply side works. It does work. It just totally does. The government, it just absolutely is horrible at everything. It just destroys capital. It does nothing well. Nothing except corruption. It does really good at corruption. It's one of those arguments we continue to have. But at that time, the Dow was at roughly 800, a little below. 800. It rose to almost 37,000 before we've had our recent correction. Almost 10% a year, which, again, is like that gravitational pull we talk about all the time over long periods. Starting in a period of super high unemployment, inflation, interest rates, terrible economy, terrible tax policy, it was absolutely horrible. And we went on a rampaging bull for 20 years before we even had much of a correction. But in spite of that, we had multiple mini corrections. We had multiple bear markets, they were just mild. I mean, although a 23% drop in one day was kind of frightening. The big crash in 1987, a little frightening. In spite of all of that, that's what this does. And so I love looking at it and thinking about it. But part of what I want to say today, too, is not as a wild-eyed optimist. But this 40-year, 20-year, however you want to call it, bull market, I think it's 40 years. You know, it has bounced around. Sure, we had bear markets in between, and so nobody calls it a 40-year. But there's really a point of saying secular, long-term, what is changing now to bring this big bull down? Interest rates are rising. Inflation is back. These are different. We haven't had that for so long. We've had that tailwind of declining interest rates. We've had the tailwind from Reagan's policies of shrinking regulation and shrinking government. We have increasing government, increasing regulations, and whack jobs running loose in Washington, D.C. that really do think somehow, somewhere, some way, they can control communism in a really positive way. It won't work, it can't work, it never does. But we're running that direction. So policy's not good. Corporations are woke. It's weird. But I don't think those are permanent things. Interest rates rising? Sure. We need to get back to a more normal time. Are we done with this idiot idea that we can just spend money and not worry about the consequences of inflation? I think we've learned that. Oh, will Washington, D.C. still spend gobs of money? Of course they will. But we have some real headwinds now. And I think we need to recognize that. And I do think the market has been. But one of the things that I think we miss all of the time is that markets are not controlled by interest rates. Day to day, they might have a move here or there because the Federal Reserve has indigestion about something. And then the traders or black boxes decide for a moment that this is the most important thing on the planet. For a moment. But to me, I don't think about the market moment to moment. Like, what's it going to do this week? Of course we look. Of course, you know, we're looking for bargains or the opportunity to sell something that's particularly dear. Not, ooh, I wonder if we could trade around our ownership of Apple. No, the reason that you get 40-fold owning Apple, let me repeat that, 40-fold increase, 40, not 4, 40 times your money since the iPhone came out is because you owned it. You didn't trade it or trade around it. Nonsense. You didn't zip in and out. You don't know when the market's going to move. You can't time it. I know you tried. I know you think you're smart. Doesn't work that way. But owning it and owning the market for 40 years has created vast amounts of wealth. Trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of wealth. We have never lived this good. Why? What is that about? Is it because interest rates declined or rose or there was inflation or there wasn't? Was it because of Ronald Reagan or was it because of Bill Clinton or Obama? No, in spite of really bad policy, we continue to innovate and create. It's creative destruction. You see, the last 40 years winners are not going to be the next 40 years winners. Are they? Are they? It might be something like geothermal energy. It might be something like fusion. It might be something like gene therapy, getting right into our DNA, fixing problems before they pop up, not treating the symptoms, fixing the underlying problem. They might be in keeping our brains clear and thoughtful into our hundreds. It's not last year's and the last 40 years. It's companies that maybe we don't even know yet, that we probably don't know yet. Because that's the creative destruction. That's the beauty of the market. That's why it's magic. It's why you and I can be rich beyond our wildest dreams, simply owning the market. We don't have to pick the winners. The market picks them. The world picks them for us. And there's so many tools now. It's so exciting. I mean, really, it's like, oh, I want to invest in gene therapy. Great. Who's going to win? I don't know. How about all of them? Let's buy an exchange-traded fund for very little money, and boom, you do it. Because you can trade them for free, absolutely, every day. Stock trading for the average investor is now free. Yeah, it's a game about the only the little guy can't win. Yeah, the little guy really has enormous advantages, has never paid this little. It's absolutely insane how easy it is. It's crazy. I really think that narrative is dying, but it's still out there. It's stunning when I look back and I think about the 40 plus years that I've been in this industry, this amazing industry. I like everybody else. I'd love to be 35 again. You know what I mean? You know, I'd love to do that again. But there is something about, as you grow older, to be able to reflect and reflect on long-term friendships, reflect on people who have worked hard and built great businesses and great families, and reflect on that. It's something positive about getting old. There really is. And being able to look back since 1982 and the Reagan-started bull market that still is ripping partly today, but not to be the wild-eyed optimist. There are problems. There are concerns. Interest rates are one. I've already talked about the real weird, woke political situation we live in. But underlying all of that that we forget was the innovation that also created that, with companies like Intel and microchips. All of those things, pharmaceuticals, biotech, smartphones, all of that technology. I mean, it's just amazing to me. Hey, Siri, who won the World Series and yada, yada? Uh-oh, I've got to be careful. My phone's going to talk to me. It's just, it's one of those things that's amazing. And we take for granted now, where if people have a question, you just ask your phone for the answer. And you have it. It's a stunning, amazing development. Okay, I found there she goes. Sorry about that, guys. Got to turn your phone off if you're going to talk to her. Here's the thing. We're not done innovating and creating things. Sorry, I didn't mean to sound like Joe Biden there with here's the thing. But we're not done creating, innovating, propelling mankind forward at all. And for those that write it off and say our best days are behind us, just are not looking at history at all. Our best days were not 1970. It wasn't the 1950s. It wasn't the 60s. It might be the best way in some way that you like mom stayed at home. Maybe that was the best way. Maybe it's not the best way. But in all ways, we continue to move forward. And when we get stuck in today and the problems and the arguments and the nastiness, you know, and you're listening to the Chuck Schumers and AOCs out there that just want to turn the world upside down and are angry and mean and horrible, it doesn't feel like it's going to get better. But you know what? Another Ronald Reagan will come along. They always do to save this great nation. But on top of that, day to day, don't lose sight that the market is not this separate thing. The market is creative destruction of new things taking over old things and propelling all of us forward. All we want to do is try to protect that mechanism of capitalism, of creative destruction. It feeds us all better, better everything. All right, I got to take a break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number, and we would love to visit with you. I've said this before today a couple times, and when I'm talking on Mondays with Kevin Miller, it's the same thing. These are the dog days of summer, but man, are we having a rally here. And it is a huge move off the bottom, again, at the peak of pessimism. We're up 4 weeks in a row. 4 weeks in a row. It's a huge move. And last week alone, we're up over 3% for the week. This isn't supposed to happen. Not with high inflation. Not with Joe. Not with taxes. A slim down, build back better. All of those things, this isn't supposed to happen, but it does. And almost always at the peak of pessimism. And it's easy to look back and find out exactly where that was, because it can be very pessimistic. The world usually is, and that really isn't the peak. It gets worse. But all the time, as I was just talking about, this 40-year amazing run that the markets had. And honestly, not more amazing than any other 40-year period, frankly. It's just when you think about where we were at the time to come to this now. We always look back and we see all of those, if you will, improvements and whether it's technology and, you know, medical care, all of those things. We see great changes in the world when we see the Soviet Union implode. When you have a leader, a strong and real leader like Ronald Reagan was. The changes there. It's easy to see that as we look back. But it's really hard when we're in this mess that we're in right now. Screaming and yelling. Angry people everywhere. Crime is at a record level. There's something wrong. Psychopaths running around and shooting up schools. Who even envisioned that? From a time when everybody in rural America drove around with a shotgun in an unlocked pickup truck 40 and 50 years ago. And nobody shot anybody. Ever. Ever. It's weird. It's hard. It's hard to wrap our minds around this. It's hard not to just cry out to God sometimes and wonder what in the world could this possibly, how can this be possibly good? How can this ever be okay? But in 40 years, you could have said that all the time. All the time. We certainly would have thought that during World War II. Communism is not exactly a bunch of nice people. I mean, it just goes on and on. But we seem to solve our problems. We just seem to do it. And I think it's important, it has been for me, to just focus instead on the nastiness of today, the problems right now, and how are we going to solve them, is to think of the big picture that we do continue to move forward. How are we going to get out of this Chinese, Russian mess we're in? How are we going to get past Joe Biden, who's still actually trying to do a deal with the mullahs in Iran? Are you kidding me? What is wrong with these people? I mean, there's nobody thinks this is a good idea. I can't imagine. How is this a good idea? But we go down these paths, but somehow we find ways to fix it. And instead of focusing on every single little problem, and why the markets won't work, it helps me to focus on the innovation that happens every single day. Every day. Every day, companies are striving to come up with cooler, amazing things. And I don't just mean a better cell phone, but think of what the cell phone does. Think of what the watch is doing for healthcare, allowing people to, say, stay at home longer. Where we were worried about them falling. Now your watch can call 911 if you fall, because it knows you did. It may know you are about to have a heart attack because your heart is racing. You may not know that. It may be able to monitor your blood sugar before you stroke out. All of these things are real time and getting better by the day. We're moving forward. As long as we get out of the way of innovation, creative destruction, some of these things of sitting around and yelling at each other, maybe we can solve those problems. That's why I remain optimistic. Even though I do believe that the great bull market is over. That is that tailwind of lower interest rates, the tailwind of deregulation. But it'll be back. Big government fails at everything 100% of the time. And over time, people get to know that. They really do. And as Rush Limbaugh said, gosh, we miss him, huh? As Rush Limbaugh said, they always overplay their hand. And they will this time too. And they already are. So those things shift. And I know there's problems. And I'm not trying to be a wild-eyed optimist about this. But as long as the world's moving forward, the corporations that are doing that is why you own stocks. They will do just fine. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be back after Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you again for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Terry. Terry.
Well, good morning, Professor. How are you doing?
Good, Terry. How are you today?
Oh, just too warm. But then again, all these people that are whining about the heat, I'm going to remind them of what they're going to say in February.
Mm-hmm. True. We all are. That's true.
Anyway, you were talking earlier with young Mr. Miller, mm-hmm. and it reminded me of about the get woke, go broke companies and whatnot. And I get a warm fuzzy when I think about a bumper sticker that I've got that says, there is no right never to be offended.
Yeah, true. That's a good one.
You know, you keep that in mind. If you're going to get pissed, make sure it's about something that's worthwhile.
Well, today you're a good shill for me because I have also wanted to talk about this brand new exchange-traded fund out there, okay? You know how we've got ESG, which for those of you who aren't following this is where...
And if you go for DRLL,
you
I
got
want
it.
Some.
That's the one. That's the one. That's the one. It is, and they're saying is, of course, they're making great, I mean, what a great marketing gig this is, honestly. I mean, it's just, it's in my mind is silly, just the same as ESG is silly. Corporations should go out and, of course, within the laws and regulations, make as much profit as they possibly can. There's nothing woke about hiring people that are not qualified for the job. There's nothing woke about that at all. Or putting people on the board that want to put you out of business. This is just stupid. So anyway, this is a group that simply says, we want excellence. In other words, they're looking to companies that are striving for excellence in profitability, products, et cetera, and are not acting like a bunch of woke monsters. I am guessing they are going to be massively successful.
I certainly hope so. And like I said, even if we don't make tons of money off of it, you have freely above board have my permission to buy as much as you want.
There you go. Yeah, and it's and think about what has really, when we think about this in our own country, how important it is to really be owning the energy companies. We produce the world's cleanest carbon energy, period. It is going to be the barrel of oil that we just used in the 0.000 seconds of our existence. It matters where it's produced. It is going to be used, period. But if it's cleaner and it doesn't fall in the hands of really bad people that we pay to do this, that's why this policy is so bad. So I think it's terribly woke to own the energy companies. In fact, it's even more woke to lend them money so they can drill more in the clean and create the cleanest carbon in the world, in America.
Yeah, through the week, somewhere I heard a sideline about this idiot bill that these clowns back there put up, where they have to produce electric batteries out in the United States to put in all the cars, and the minerals have to be mined in the United States.
Yeah.
There is not enough of the raw materials in existence in the United States, let alone enough to do all the stuff they want, let alone producing all the power that they want, since they don't have a battery to store it. They're just running in circles.
It's what's wrong with politics today. They're in such a hurry to do stuff that it doesn't even make sense.
Oh, yeah, and let's put it in an omnibus bill so we can hide everything we want that comes back to my back pocket.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But, it reminds me of a Robert Heinlein quote, when in trouble and in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout.
I like it. We'll leave it at that, Terry.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Good day.
And let's go ahead and run on over to Mike. Michael, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dave. Thanks very much for your show. I've been listening since, I think, 1986.
Wow.
I just wanted to, the way you ended the bottom of the hour, stating that the bull market was over, but someday it would be back, it almost brought tears to my eyes, Dave. It almost did, this great evil that's been put upon America. It just almost brought tears to my eyes. And, you know, that's what I've been hoping, too, is that someday we'll have there'll be better days ahead. And that's what keeps me going. And listening to people like you, I just wanted to thank you for your awesome show, Dave. It's very uplifting.
Well, thank you
very much, and have a great weekend, Dave. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for the call. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
Thanks. Super kind. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, and it is something that helps keep me going, too, as I'm thinking about things. And what am I going to share? And listening to other people and listening to their inputs, it helps me to not become a big old grumpy downer. Because there's every reason in the world. And you always see what you're looking for. If people are looking for what's wrong in the church they go to, they'll find it. If people are looking for what's wrong in the people that they're talking with, they'll see it. They'll see it. If you're looking for the flaws in your mate, you'll find them. Absolutely. And if you're looking for why the world is in trouble, we have lots of news outlets to tell us in case you missed it. Lots and lots. So I think it is actually up to us to try to find those things that maybe aren't all wrong in the world. And it is also up to us to keep hope, because there's many, many billions of people in this world that really live with no hope. They don't think that there is any hope, and that's where they live and that's where they exist. So it is important for us to do that. It is. And it's not making it up. Life is pretty damn good. It really is. And it's hard, too. But it's good. And Michael, thank you very much. You really encouraged me to stay at it. How's that? So thank you for the call. And there are reasons to say, yeah, the bull market's dead because the tailwinds are gone. Doesn't mean the market won't go up. But we do have to stay and fight the good fight and stop this lunacy that's tearing our country apart. We really do. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Dave at petsofinancial.net. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. We've got plenty of time left today. If you want to give us a call, it's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at petsofinancial.net. Let's go to Gary. Gary, thanks for holding through the break.
Oh, good morning, David. Enjoying the program again.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
I have a little humor for you and a suggestion for a bumper sticker. The humor is all about inflation. Did you know that inflation is getting so bad? And this is where you say, how bad is it? It is so bad that Bill and Hillary, when they travel together, have to share a room. Inflation is getting so bad that Mark Zuckerberg had to lay off 25 congressmen.
That's good.
And then for bumper sticker, you know, one thing that kind of galls a lot of us is that we have everybody saying, okay, we have to get off oil. We have to go with artificial meat or whatever. Meanwhile, these guys are flying to Davos on private jets, dining on caviar, you know, and living in palatial mansions, not one, but multiple. So maybe for a bumper sticker, we need something like ban the elites from oil and meat. Let them taste their own medicine.
Mm-hmm. That's true. They never will. I think, of course, our climate czar, Kerry, is the epitome of hypocrisy. I'm being nice. He's beyond. Wow. This guy is just an idiot. And
yeah. And the more we point out this hypocrisy, the better off.
I agree. I do. I know it gets shoved down because it doesn't fit the narrative in a New York Times or NBC or anyway, major media, right? Mainstream media. But a lot of people still know it. A lot of people get it. And once in a while, you have an honest leftist that will write about it. Once in a while. Now, whether they get published or not, that's another story. But they do want, you do once in a while get a, you know, quotes, climatologist to come out and say, we really don't know what the effects of this are going to be, right? But, you know, but that's the first step in trying to come to some real solutions. I remember a great piece in the Wall Street Journal about a year ago from somebody like that's worked in that field forever, and not on the left or on the right. He just works in that field and wrote about all of the how hard it is to even have a discussion to talk about. Everybody's certain, and nobody can be certain what the Earth's temperature will be in 50 years or let alone 100 years. It's idiotic that people can do that. And that's the point of it. Now we have to discuss the problem. If the world is warming, then a couple less cars isn't going to suddenly cool it down. That's his point. So what do we have to do? We got to figure out other solutions, whether it's, you know, putting some reflective things in the atmosphere, all those things, if it's really that big a deal. But the reality is it's easier to grow crops when it's warm, as an example.
Yeah, you know, you were talking earlier about wokeism and being offended and all. Several years ago, around the coffee pot at work, I referred to NPR as National Pagan Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my colleagues said, I find that offensive, you know, huff, huff. And so I said, take a look at Western civilization, from the Assyrians to the Babylonians to the Egyptians to the Greeks to the Romans, those are all pagan cultures. What do you find offensive? Well, that kind of ended the conversation right there.
it can, that's for sure. It does. It, you know, people sometimes, when there's no argument, then the discussion ends. So, Gary, thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
You have a great rest of the day.
Yep, stay cool.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. And I guess if you, yeah, hey, our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We've got plenty of time to take your calls. I wanted to talk a little bit about the virtues of stock buybacks, because this is not a killer to stock buybacks, having a 1% tax. It's just stupid. It's penalizing great behavior that's great for the economy, great for the markets, which is great for everybody. Because guess what? 401ks do well when the market does well. corporations do well, and they make better decisions when they don't use their capital on stupid things. But when you get people like Chuck Schumer, who he's undoubtedly not that stupid, so he just simply uses it as a political tool to say, we don't want to do this. So it's terrible when we have policy like this, because now that the, if you will, the camel's nose is in the tent, does anybody really think that the 1% tax isn't going to go to 2 or 5 or 10? Of course it is, especially with a woke Congress. And if you don't think we're going to get one at some time, in the same way with those that are woke and don't think that we're going to get conservatives in there again, you're wrong. Politics shifts. It shifts. But I wanted to kind of arm everybody, if you will, with just some normal statistics, okay? Not too, I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but why are buybacks under attack? And the answer is it's politics, because it's wonderful policy. You say, well, why is it wonderful policy to buy back stock instead of spending it in R&D? Well, first of all, they spend trillions in R&D, trillions, and they have trillions. I'm talking about the corporations in America alone, okay, on the balance sheet. They have cash of $8 trillion. It's not like they don't have lots of money. They've spent $12 trillion in R&D. In the last 10 years, $12 trillion. They're spending a lot in R&D. It pays to spend it. Not because of a government dictate, go spend money on R&D. Well, duh, if you don't keep innovating and creating better cell phones, you're not going to sell any. Because everybody else is spending trillions creating one. It's self-preservation, not, wow, I'm so woke, and I think we'll just spend all our money in R&D because you're trying to stay alive. And when you don't, you become a Hewlett-Packard, for crying out loud, because you didn't spend enough money. Run into the ground by what? Accountants. Accountants. So what we have is that, first of all, you get this number once in a while, and I'm just going to mention the number real quick. $11 trillion is how much money was spent buying back stock. Yes. That's true. And $6.5 trillion was issued in new stock. They were buying back stock options and awards, stock awards. In other words, the net is $4 trillion, not $11 trillion. It's four. So liars, statistics lie, liars use statistics all the time. There's $11 trillion in buybacks. Yeah, well, there's $7 trillion in issuance. Well, $4 trillion doesn't sound like as big a number. So I don't want to use it. I want to lie to people. And then act like they don't spend it in R&D. They do. And they have gobs left over, so they've got solid balance sheets to sustain recessions, to expand businesses. And when you don't allow them to do that or penalize them, what do you think they're going to do? Build palaces for home offices? Maybe. Dilute shareholders by issuing more and more and more stock options that they don't buy back? Really diversifying. You know, Exxon at one time bought a microchip company. Do we think that corporations that don't know anything about things ought to do that? That will help capitalism? How? That'll help the engine for America. How? When people that don't know anything about a business go in and get it. Because we got to spend the money. Even though a stock buyback might make the most sense. Well, they should just pay it out in dividends then. That's what they should do. Okay, that's fine. But dividends are not one-time deals. It's cash flow forever. That's the way they think of it. You don't cut dividends. You start them, you increase them, but you never cut them. They'll take your stock out and shoot it. That's not what you do. It's a way to make a one-time return of capital, buy back stock that they've issued. And we're not even talking about the debt. The debt that companies have raised over the decades and spent in R&D. spent in expanding. Do you really want companies to just expand? In what? Air? This is why the stock buyback question is really bad. It is. It's not the 1% tax. It's the whole idea that we're taxing a good thing and lying about it. So you are better informed about stock buybacks, and I do hope you have a wonderful weekend. I'm going to try to stay cool out there, and I hope you do too. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you live next week.